go. True love is in such a sign. How wonderful is love like. Such love, such love. How wonderful is love like this. Amen. Amen. Lord bless you this evening. Amen. If you'd just be seated momentarily. Amen. The Lord's been so good to us in many different ways. Just a couple things here. Brother Augustine's meeting is starting this weekend. There is not a Friday night service. They are having what they call door-to-door. That's their church only. And they're going around visiting people, is my understanding. The first service is Saturday evening with Brother George Martin at 5 o'clock. And then they have Sunday morning and then Sunday evening at 4:30. So if you want to go to those services, it starts Saturday evening, not Friday night. Unless you want to go knocking door-to-door with them at that point. Okay? So the announcement was a little bit different. I asked him about it, and he said, no, that was just for their church. So on Saturday, 5 o'clock, Sunday evening, 4:30. Amen. And then, well, we want you to continue to pray for Sister Victoria Hayes and her family. Her son, Marlon, died on Monday, and he's 36 years old. We don't know exactly what caused him to die, but we know that God is able to give the family strength. Sister Victoria is here tonight. I appreciate her strength in the Lord. Of course, we know our help comes from the Lord, don't we, sister? We trust in the Lord. And went there yesterday to visit with them a little bit and talk. And, you know, God's good to us. Amen. We don't understand it, but we know He's in control. And so tonight, if you don't mind, just before I ask Brother Tim to come, we'd like to have a special prayer for the family. I know that many of you have been praying, but it's not easy. We just buried her oldest son, Victor, about 3 weeks ago. And now this son passed on Monday. So it's been a difficult time for the family, but God promised He'd not put more on us than we could bear. And we just have to trust in the Lord. Let's just stand tonight and ask the Lord to help the family, to give them strength through this trial that they're facing. Lord Jesus, it's in times like these when we truly rest upon the arm of God. We know that without You, Lord, we couldn't make it through some of these dark hours. Lord, when I was speaking with Sister Victoria on the phone Monday, my heart was just breaking. Lord, how would I feel? What would I do? But Lord, all I could think of is You're in control. You take care of us. And Lord, tonight as our precious sister is here, and that's the reason she has that strength, is I believe she just keeps pressing the battle, believing, Lord, and the family leans up on her many times. Lord, may You help her to stay strong, to find the good through all the bad. Lord, we know that everything that we say or do, it either brings life or it brings death, brings encouragement or brings discouragement. Help us to be the ones that can bring the encouragement by the words of life, by the power of Your Spirit. Lord, to take control of every situation. Help us to look on the positive side of everything that happens in our life, Lord, to get the good out of it in every situation. Lord, may You walk with us through this service. Lord, bless Brother Tim as he gets ready to come. Lord, to bring the word of life to us, Lord, that it might encourage our hearts. Lord, we trust in You and believe in You that all is well according to Your perfect will. We ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Let's just sing that as Brother Tim comes.
Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. You find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's passing by this moment, your need to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. You'll find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's passing by this moment, your need to supply. Reach out, touch the Lord as He.
Can you touch Him with your prayer?
Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. You'll find not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's passing. Supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by.
Let's sing it again.
Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. You will find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. Passing by this moment, your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He.
Let's sing it one more time.
Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. You will find He's not too busy hear your heart's cry. He's passing by this moment, need to supply. Reach out, touch the Lord as He goes by.
Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Father, Lord Jesus, we reach out to You. As You go by, O Lord, don't pass us by. Don't let us pass up the opportunity, O Father. Lord Jesus, we want to take advantage of every opportunity that we have, O Lord Jesus, and this is one of them, dear Lord. Lord Jesus, we prepared ourselves, O Lord, for this service, O Lord Jesus, before the service, during the song service, O Lord Jesus. You've set the table ready, O Father. Lord Jesus, now we await, O Father, for You to give to us the words of life, O Lord Jesus. May it come, O Lord Jesus, freely, abundantly, unadulterated, O Lord Jesus, to Your people to do and serve the purpose for which You had intended in Your mind before the foundation of the world. Lord Jesus, bless the people, O Lord Jesus. Open the hearts and ears, O Lord Jesus, by Your grace. Let all things be done according to Your will. In Thy name, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Can we hear in the back over there? Yes. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank You, Lord. All right. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to the book of 1 John. 1 John chapter 4, starting with verse 7. 1 John chapter 4. Starting with verse 7. Amen. As the scripture reads,
Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and every one that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Amen. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Please be seated. I'd like to read a couple more scriptures, if you would bear with me here this evening. If you can turn to the book of John, the Gospel of John. John chapter 17. John chapter 17, verse 18. John chapter 17, verse 18. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. So he's speaking of the disciples. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be perfect, made perfect in one. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Amen. I'd like to speak on a subject this evening on relationships. We had a Sunday school lesson on different topics related to relationships. I'd like to continue that on by God's grace with you all. Continue on a lot further than I was able to go with the Sunday school class. But the basis of the study was we all are involved in some type of relationship. You know, whether it's a relationship with a husband and wife, or with children, any relationship in the family, a relationship with parents, a relationship with Jesus Christ, relationship with God the Father, relationship with brothers and sisters in the congregation, the assembly. And so if you look at our lives, they're surrounded by relationships. And so we know that God created all things by him and for him, and he created it because he wanted relationship. And so when we look in the message of the hour, we look in the scriptures that God was trying to, he was expressing himself throughout the ages from the beginning of time. And so we know that God was an invisible God from the beginning. And so he had attributes, he had thoughts and ideas in his mind, and he wanted to express who he was. And so in him was a Father, in him was a Son, in him was a Healer, in him was a Savior, in him was all these attributes. We know that, right? And so God being by himself and being an invisible God, then he wanted to express all these things through a plan that he had in his mind. Although there was nothing there materialized, it was in his mind before even he started the world, right? But we know through, and I'm not going to go through all of this. We went in depth in the Sunday school lesson, but I'm just going to hit the highlights. But when he began to want to express himself, Brother Branham talks about how he expressed himself in the sonship, right? And he began to express his thoughts into a heavenly being called the Logos, or the Theophany. And it was everything that God was poured into this Logos. The thought and mind of God, all the attributes was in this. And in Colossians, he calls it the Son. And it was the beginning of the creation of God. Before any earth was formed, before the universe was created, it says that the Son created all these things, right? And it speaks of it in John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. And if you look at the Greek, that Word was the Logos. And it was the Word, including the thought of God. So everything that God had in his mind, remember, a word is a thought expressed, right? So when you speak a word, there's a thought behind it. And so God had thoughts in his mind. And then when he wanted to create light, he said, let there be light. So the thought was there, and then he spoke it. And then after he spoke it, it became into manifestation. It came into being so that we could see it. It became a reality. And so the first relationship that God had was as a father to a son. And so that son then began to create the rest of the universe. And then began to create. And Brother Bram talks about how the earth was part of the sun that came off of the sun, right? A chip off the old block, so to speak. And then it began to get further away from the sun and then began to form into an iceberg. And then it was an iceberg out there, but then God brought it close to himself at the appropriate time and began to melt that ice. And then it began to be water around the earth. And then as there was water, there was no life there. But then God, remember it says, it moved upon the face of the deep, right? The Spirit of God began to move upon the face of the deep. And Brother Branham talks about that Spirit of God. He was making love to the earth. And he was brooding over the earth. And as he was brooding over the earth, then that Spirit did something to the earth to bring forth a reaction. And that reaction was life began to form out of the earth. Plants began to grow. Animals began to grow. All these different things because of the Spirit of God, the atmosphere that was created over the earth. And remember it says in 1 John, it says, God is love. And so as he was making love to the earth, that love had a creative power. And it began to do different things to the earth. And so eventually he had his own family. He made man in his image, right? In a spirit form. And then he put flesh on it. And then that was God and his children. So he became a family. Now I'm going to read this quote from A Prophet Like Unto Moses, 1959. It says, now he talks about the harmony of God. He says, it's my purpose to do that. That's what's in my heart, to see all of God's children in one accord and with one heart moving on. Then I believe when that takes place, the work will about be over then. The millennium will set in, the rapture will come, and we're certainly praying and watching, waiting for that time. So now he's talking about a unity that's among the believers, a unity among the believers between them and Christ. And when that unity, one heart, one accord, moving on, then the millennium will set in. Then the rapture will take place. So there's a condition that needs to be set amongst the people of God that they need to be in some type of unity. Now, Brother Branham preached a message of oneness, and I'm just going to hit some highlights here, but when he talks, going back to the Garden of Eden, he says, now the first man and first woman in the Garden of Eden was in perfect harmony with God, so much that God could come down at any time he desired and talk lip to ear with Adam and Eve. That is perfect oneness. God and his creation, God speaking lip to ear with Adam and Eve. And they were so perfect in harmony with God till they were one with God. God and his family was one. Any man in his family, a correct, good, noble, obedient family, is one with another. Any family. And if there's something in the family that moves them apart, then it's not right. The family's broken somewhere. They should all be one. Father with mother, mother with father, children with parent, parent with children, all in agreement. And when you see that, you'll see one lovely picture. Amen. We know that the world has, the devil has 6,000 years to tear up this world. And we know that. And we know that the devil hates the family. Yeah. And that's why he's trying to break it down with any scheme and avenue that he can. And so you see more of it today, that the family is broken up so much more than it ever was in time of history, I believe. You know, he's breaking up marriages. He's breaking up the relationship with the parents and the children. He's breaking up the relationship between the children with each other. He's breaking up the oneness in the relationship. Children, you know, developing relationships. And I'm not against pure relationships, but I'm just talking about a dynamic here. You know, this pure relationship, you know, sometimes it can be a trap because, you know, the peer pressure that goes on in school and what it does sometimes to the kids. And they, you know, sometimes they lose that understanding of the relationship of the authority of a parent to the children because they're around their friends so much. You know, don't get me wrong about, we all have to do certain things and, you know, school is a necessary thing. I'm just talking about what the devil tries to scheme in different places. But when you look at this pure relationship, when they, you know, then they start to develop attitudes towards authority. Right. You know, a rebellious attitude. And then when they, you know, talk back to their parents or call them the old man or the old woman or something like that, or the teacher, this, that, or names, it's reinforced sometimes with the kids. And so you look at how, and then trying to draw people away with these pure relationships from the relationship with the parents. You know, I want to go with my friends and things like that. But God, you know, developed a relationship in the beginning of parents to the children. And then eventually that relationship with the husband and the wife. Are we together? Amen. And so he's doing things and you see all types of dysfunctions in the family today. Can everybody hear me? I know this microphone, maybe I should pull it over here. Is this better? But you see a lot of dysfunctions that are going on, things that we've never seen before. You know, AIDS, ADHD, you know, all these different things, these different diseases, abnormalities that are going on. You know, the list goes on and on and on. And because, you know, everything was perfect in the beginning, but when something got out of cater, that's when everything began to break down. And so when something changed in the beginning, that's when we began to see sickness, disease, death, all these things, and what we see today in the advanced forms of disease. Now, so he says this. He says how, talking about, that's, okay. I think I'm, God's nature was in them. Now, I'm going to skip a little bit further on here, talking about, we know that when there was a disruption and it was, they got out of line with the word of God, Adam and Eve did. And so when Eve caught that thought of the devil, then it changed the whole dynamic of what was going on. And so remember, a word is a thought expressed, and so there is a thought behind that word, and so there was a relationship, there was a connection that was going on between God and his children, and so when she disobeyed, she disbelieved and disobeyed, that broke that connection, even though 99.9% of the word was correct, it broke that chain, and so by that, everything fell. Amen. Just bear with me, I have to use my hand here. Amen. Now he says this, Now the oneness and fellowship was broke between God and his children the minute she disbelieved one little paragraph. Not only that, but the oneness between husband and wife was broken. I don't believe there's any marriage can be what it ought to be without a union between husband and wife and God. That's right. They'll bring up children in the world and make them illegitimates, give them cigarettes, whiskey, play cards, in their sight, drink liquor before them, no matter how loyal they are to their marriage vows. That's sexually, that's flesh, but there's a spirit in there. That spirit of a sinner, papa and mama, no matter how loyal to their children, will come wrong. So no matter if they're not divorced, they're still together, if they don't have God in there, then it's not going to be the right kind of relationship. Well, you say, I know men and women that didn't teach their children that and wasn't Christians. The very thing of not leading them to Christ was the wrongest thing they could ever do besides the other, not to lead them to Christ, see? So you can't have a correct union without it, the fellowship broken. Listen, anytime a church breaks its fellowship to throw itself into an organization and break that unity with the word, the fellowship of the believers is broke. We've got to believe with one heart, one mind, and one accord. That's the way they was before the union was ever made on the day of Pentecost. One heart, one mind, and one accord. If you just hold on a second. If you all find that mic, just bring it up here. All right. Amen. God's in control. All right. Let's relax a little bit. You all can smile a little bit. All right. Amen. I see some smiles out there. Okay, let's loosen up. Amen. God wants us to be relaxed. Not too relaxed, but relaxed. Amen. Okay, so now we're talking about the relationship. You see the chain reaction between the husband and wife, what's happening. Now it says, now watch how her union between her and her husband was broken. See, quickly, as soon as God said, Adam, how'd you do this? Instead of taking up for his wife, he passed it on to his wife. The woman thou gavest me. Union broke, see? What did she do? Instead of loving her husband and telling the truth, she lied. She should have said, he's innocent. I gave to him. You see what's happening? And the chain reaction. She should have said, he's innocent. I gave to him. Amen. The Bible says she gave to her husband. She should have said, the man's innocent. I gave to him, and then he did eat. But I was the one that gave it to him. Instead of that, she passed it on the serpent, closest bypass. So the buck continued to be passed on. Not my name, but the buck, you know, that expression. That's the same thing they try to do today. See, the husband, wife, the union broken, husband and wife, fellowship was broken between them. The oneness of them was broken. The oneness between them and God was broken. The whole thing was marred. Why? Because one word was disbelieved. Oh, brother, my, yes, she should have told the truth. The oneness with her and her husband was gone, and the oneness of them and God was gone. And every church that doesn't take the whole of God's word, the same thing happens. I love it. Don't you? Amen. Now, Brother Branham makes this, and, you know, he talks about how the disciples, he says that when the disciples, you know, they did not have unity. I have the quote here. I'm just going to save a little bit of time, but he said the disciples before Pentecost, they did not have unity. They were bickering among themselves. They said, who's going to be the greatest and things like that. And we know that, you know, Peter, before he went to Pentecost, although he had a love for Jesus, he had a revelation, but yet there was something missing, right? And so he denied Jesus three times before he said, I would die for you. But then he denied Jesus three times, right? Right after that. And so also he said, told Jesus, he said, you know, I don't want you to go die on the cross. And Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. All these things. And so the disciples, they wanted to, you know, be the greater among each other. And so, but Brother Branham says, when Pentecost came, then there was unity. Why? Because God came down and there was a connection between them and God. And so unity came to pass. He said, yes, disciples had no unity. They could not understand Jesus. They said, ah, who can understand these things? See, God wasn't in them yet. Yet they were associated in fellowship. They wasn't one with God yet. See, they couldn't be. Oh, they done miracles. They casted out devils. That ain't a... Now then came Pentecost. God made them one again. Oh my. Then they had oneness with God. God was in them. Now Acts, if you're putting it down, Acts 4:32, the Bible said that they were with one heart, one soul, and one mind. Oh brother, why? They had been restored back to the original again. But in spirit and life and in purpose and in vision and everything, they were one with God.
Amen.
I'm glad we have at least one amen in here. Amen. Now he said this, he's talking about ourselves. He says, what is it? You've got to get with the word. Get yourself killed out. I'm persuaded that many of us, friends, have received the Holy Ghost, but we just receive enough Holy Ghost in us to make us to a place where we don't want to lie. We don't want to steal. We don't want to do anything. But God wants to fill every fiber of his church. He wants to fill your thinking. And he wants to fill your mind. He wants to fill every bit of you. Just make you completely, totally dead to yourself or to your thinking. Just so surrendered in God till his word's just living right through you. You don't know nothing else but God's word. Just stay right with his word. It is life. My words are life, said Jesus. He's placed with them teachers, believing the Bible, prophets that say the truth, that say show the same prophecy that they've always did down through the age. What's he done? He's showing himself alive among them, confirming his word. His word, the kingdom of God, is God's word made power. Amen. Now, when we're talking about the relationships a little bit more, so we kind of understand a little bit of the background that, you know, in the Sunday school class, we kind of went through the Godhead, and the Godhead is not just about, you know, the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost and the manifestation of God, but it's also being able to see yourself in Christ. Remember, it's not one not three persons, but one person. And so when you had a father, that was him by himself, or he became a father when he had a son, but he was by himself as Elohim before, the self-existing one. But then he began to express himself more and more as a son, and then he began to have children. And then remember that all throughout time that he's constantly having children. So when you looked at the scriptures in Genesis, multiply and replenish the earth, that's exactly what was being done. Now, in the physical, there was a multiplication and replenishment of the earth, but there was also a spiritual by the word of God. Amen. If you are a child of God, if you are a predestinated seed of God, you are in the mind of God before the foundation of the world. And so you were in his mind, but in the appropriate time, in the timeline of God that you were expressed. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so Abraham was in the mind of God, but he was expressed in a certain hour. And so was Isaac, and so was Jacob, and so those. But they were in seed form or in thought form before. Do you understand what I'm saying? And as the time went on, there was a Brother Mike Walters or the Brother Ken. There was a Brother Duncan and all these different people that God had in his mind, but waited till a certain period of time for them to be born and then for the word of God to hit their heart. And when the word hit their heart, then that came forth to life, that germ seed of God. And so this Bible right here is in word form. Amen. Or a seed form. And so that's why it's closed to a lot of people. Because it's closed, it's in a seed. And when you see a seed, it's just abiding there by itself. But when there's light shown onto it, when there's a nutrition that goes there, then what happens? Life comes out of it. And so that's what happens to you and I. So there was something that God placed in your heart from the foundation of the world, in his mind and his thoughts. And so it was there, sitting there, but at the right time. Remember, it's God's timing. We have to go against God, go according to God's timing. When it was the right time, then that seed, that light shone upon that seed, and then life came forth. And then there was a hunger, there was a desire in the heart. And so you began to search for God. You began to go on your journey. It wasn't you searching for God. It was God waking you up and then you realizing you are not a chicken, you are an eagle. And so you may not have understood fully in the beginning, but you are beginning to understand. And so that started your journey. Now you're not where you need to be, but that started the journey. And so it was God's children throughout the ages. And each one of us that are a child of God represents an attribute of God. And so you are to fulfill a certain portion of the Word of God. Amen. Now, we are connected to this. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so this being in seed form, us, you can take this also, us in seed form is in here as well. And so at the right time, a portion of the Scripture is made manifest. We know that, right? At the right time, Isaiah 9:6 was made manifest. A virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, and the different things. And so then there was also the Malachi 4. It was laying in seed form, but at a certain time, then the light shone upon it, and that became manifest. Are we all together? There was one, a voice crying in the wilderness. There was that in seed form, but at the right time when John the Baptist came on the scene, that became manifest. You understand? And so you and I are in this Bible. And so at the right time, you heard the voice and you began to live out that Scripture. And so it does no good to stay in that seed form. It's got to come to life. And then it's a living Word. And so when you heard that voice, we're not talking about, as the brothers were saying, conforming. We're talking about a power. Amen. You know, he didn't come to bring the Word by itself, but in demonstration and power of the Holy Ghost. And so when you're trying to, and I know that, you know, as a child and growing up, you're being taught many things. And your parents say, don't do this, don't do that, but you want to do this, you want to do that. Right? And you're saying, why can't I do that? And you say, I just have to grin and bear it. You know, but if mom and dad's not looking, we know sometimes we do that, right? That what we're not supposed to do. And we understand that because it's a sinful nature that's there. And so, because you're trying to conform to this way of life, this Word of God, and it's hard for you. You know, the girls are asking, why do I have to wear dresses? Why do I have to have long hair? My friends have this. My friends have that. The boys are saying, my friends do this. They wear shorts. They do this. And why can't I do that? The thing is going on in your mind, and you're fighting with that because you're not converted yet. And you're going to be at war because there's the Word that your parents are giving you, and then there's your nature inside that's fighting against that. So there's a war, a constant war in there. But, you know, Take hope, because when you truly surrender yourself to God and that nature of God comes in, then it's over. Amen. Amen. And then now you're just letting God take control and take over yourself. So if you want to get over that war, get into Christ. Amen. Now, so we're talking about this the Spirit of God that brings us into unity and how powerful it is. And I want to, if I can, hit some areas that Brother Branham talks about the power of this. Remember he said there you can't have a real unity, you can't have real peace within a relationship unless, you know, Christ is there. Now it says in this message, when divine love is projected, sovereign grace takes its place. Brother Branham talks about the situation in his home, and he says, the house had been full all day, and I went out, and my little children, little Sarah and Rebecca, were fighting over some play blocks. Little Joseph, the baby, sitting on the floor, screaming to the top of his voice. Wife in the kitchen with her face buried into hands, a-weeping. When I finally got... Okay, so this is a bad situation, right? Do we all agree that's rough? Have we had this situation in our homes? Yes. Yes. When I finally got the house emptied, some in this room, some in that room, some in the basement, and I walked in, and I thought, oh... What a confusion. We want order in our house, don't we? And we don't like that confusion. She put her arms around me. She said, Billy, I'm going crazy. She said, I haven't been able to get the children any dinner. sometimes raging maniacs and saying it reverently, a bunch of sometimes fanatics running back and forth through the house saying, the Lord said this, and the Lord said, if I ain't your manager, you know, all kinds of nonsense going on. And she said, the children hasn't had anything to eat, and I don't know what to do. So we can relate to the situation. Well, I thought, now there's just one thing to do. He says, now I'm tired. Husbands, we felt that way before, right? But I'm going to do this. Now, Heavenly Father, in my heart, you help me to be what you would have me to be on this scene. And I thought, now if I can just get her quiet. So I said, sweetheart, would you rush out with me for dinner? So you see, he's trying to change things around a little bit here, right? And he's tired, and, you know, the easy thing to do was, can you just do something with those kids? Well, I have to clean up the children, she says, and this and that, and you could hardly hear yourself think. Little Joseph just beating the floor as hard as he could. So we can all totally relate to this. So I slipped over and got an apron. Prophet of God of the age got on an apron, put it around me, and I began to help her. And I said, honey, you know what? I saw the prettiest dress the other day. I just so wanted to get it for you. And it was in a certain city just here close, and we'll go get it. And all the time in my heart praying, Heavenly Father, quiet this dear little woman. And I put my hand on her, not knowing what I was doing. I'd say, yes, honey. Oh, it was beautiful. Oh, Lord, quiet this little woman. And just kept on, you know, her not knowing what I was doing. Now he's talking about a projection. He says, was projecting, creating a different atmosphere. Walk in the love of God. Have fellowship. Now remember, God is love. And God is the Holy Ghost. And so in order to be able to do this, we've got to have the Holy Ghost. We have to have Christ inside of us. And so the power was there, but now he's allowing the power that is in him and yielding himself to allow it to project. And so now it's creating a different atmosphere. And in a few minutes, she got quiet. And then when she got quiet, Sarah and Becky divided up the play blocks. Joseph got him something to play with. And there was peace in the home. What was it? Projecting love. They were mine, my children, my wife, and I was God, he says, little g. And then God giving his spirit, and through that spirit, with love to my family, sovereign grace, come in and quiet in the family. It'll do it. I know it will. Now, so we can picture situations that we have in our life, whether it's this thing going on in the family, the confusion, or something else. But there is a power in the Spirit of God, and it is love, of course. And when it's moving out, if we allow God to move out and use us and project that love, it will change things around. And we know that grace is unmerited favor. And unmerited favor means something, you know, you couldn't do within yourself. And then God took control and then did something there. And so Brother Branham could not change that situation. But when he allowed God to, and he yielded himself, and he began to pray and turn the situation over to God, then that's how the situation began to turn around. Now he says, there's different, I think it's going to go this direction, but there's different examples in here that we could probably relate to in our everyday life that I want to see by God's grace if we can pick up. And maybe you can say, hey, I understand that or I identify that. Here's one. It says, evil spirits are not cast out by cruel, indifferent living. The most powerful weapon there is in the world is love. Yes, I stood by a little lady the other night, where her husband was fixing to leave her and marry another woman, a very fine known couple. I looked at her. She said, well, I'm going to leave, Brother Branham. I said, don't do it, sister. told me, he said, oh, my husband, his ministry will be ruined. What can I do? I'm going to New York, and I'm going to get me a job. I said, don't do it. Don't do it, sister. What can I do, Brother Branham? I said, go up to him. I said, well, I found the lady's picture, and I broke it up, and I done so-and-so. I did that, the other woman's picture. I see that. But I said, go up to him and put your arms around him and say, sweetheart, no matter what you've done, I still love you. That'll do it. It was right. Now, obviously, it's got to be genuine love. You can't just make it up. And Brother Branham talks about how, you know, animals know when you're faking it. And so do people know when it's not genuine. But he says it's got to be love. It's because, you know, you have this situation. She just wants to leave. She wants to do things. But what? It's the reverse of what you expect. He's done this, and I'm going to love him. But that's the way of God. Now he says here, a young fellow come to me not long ago. He was a Pentecostal. He'd seen too many of these meetings. And he goes in, and his wife is a staunch Lutheran. She said, well, I guess you all went down and shouted last night. Said, I guess you was all speaking in tongues and doing all this last night. You know, we deal with marital situations, and we don't see eye to eye on certain things. Here's one type of situation. He got out on the floor and said, God, cast out. I cast that devil out of her. Does that seem like the right way? I mean, but seems like she's against the word, right? He's a Pentecostal. He's, you know, the Spirit of God, you know, the gifts of God, and she's speaking against it. So he's thinking she's got an evil spirit, right? Don't tell me you haven't thought this way before. Now it says here, he come to me and he said, Brother Branham, we're going to have a divorce, I guess, he said. I just can't get that devil to move out of her. I said, brother, you're going at it the wrong way. I said, when she starts like that, say, all right, dear, bless your heart, honey, and be real kind to her. Just see how much you can do for her. So you got to really dig deep down, right? There's got to be something there. He said, Brother Branham, well, how will I ever get the devil out of her? I said, you do as I say, and just keep praying in your heart, see? I said, God will take care of the rest of it. He called me up about 2 or 3 weeks later and said, my home's revolutionized. He said, my wife is a different person. I said, which is the most powerful, screaming and kicking and stomping or putting your arms around in love? God is love. God so loved the world. He talks about the same situation. He talks, you know, he talks about a little bit different angle, and he says, when you come home, buy her a box of candy. Have we done that, husbands, before? I see one hand or another hand back there. Give it to her when you come in at the door. Put your arms around her. I said, that's the way you cast out a devil. Love casts out fear, doesn't it? Love. Friends, the whole world is dying for love. That's one of the great things that we leave out of our Pentecostal blessing. Too much of it is love that mixes it together. The mortar that makes gifts and all the things of God operate perfectly is love for the other. This will all men know that you're my disciples. You know, time is going so fast, but, you know, as just seeing the message more and more as we move on further, I think that we see the message a little bit more and more differently as we move on. Now, you know, before, if we came out of denominationalism, if we came out of something else, you know, in the beginning it was all the doctrine, right? It was the water baptism. It was the hair, it was the dress, it was the seals, it was the church ages, it was all these different doctrines, right? But, you know, as we mature on, we realize the message is Christ, right? And so, remember, Brother Branham talks about reading between the lines. What is he trying to say in the message, right? And we know that the Word of God, he said in the Church Age book, he said, you know, pray for revelation. Revelation cannot be overemphasized, right? What is revelation? A realization, an opening of what has been hidden before. Now, we understand the mystery truths and, you know, the seals and, you know, the angels and all those things, and those interest us. But what was God really trying to get us to see, right? Remember, the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And so he brought truth, but he brought grace with it, right, to live it. And so when we see that looking in the scriptures and the message, the very nature and the heart of God. Remember, Jesus represented the very heart of God, right? And so when you look at, remember, the law said, stone them when they do this, commit adultery. But then Jesus came with the forgiveness, right? And so there was another angle that Jesus was bringing. Remember, Jesus was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And so he was God, all God, in a man. And so the very nature of Jesus Christ on the earth was the very nature or heart of God. And he was expressing it. And he expressed it through love and forgiveness. He still held to the Word of God. But he gave it in such a way that it was able to win the people's hearts. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you look at the message that God had explained, and you can see this very nature taking place and how Brother Branham handles the situation. What is the situation? We know that he was set for a trap in the Chicago Ministerials group, and so they wanted to challenge him on the water baptism in Jesus' name. And so Brother Branham, in this whole message, he's talking about different conflicts between brothers. And he says, this one believes this way, and it's got to be that way. This one believes this way, it's got to be that way. And they're both using the scriptures. They're both using what seems to be sound doctrine, right? But what happened in there? Brother Branham says there was an evil spirit that got in there somehow. And they started to be at odds. They began to fuss. They began to do these things. And so they were saying, you know, there was a oneness group and there was a Trinitarian group. And the oneness says, you know, which side are you going to take here? And the other one said, you know, the Trinitarian said, are you going to take our side? And so he was at a tough decision there. What does he say, right? If you'll bear with me, I'll bring this out where he talks about the situation. If you can bear with me here for a second. Amen? Amen. All right, you all are being great. Amen. Okay. Now he says this. Well, I looked, and on both sides there were great men, servants of God. And I thought, oh God, if I could see all them emerge and to just go ahead and have, but do not just draw their lines and saying, we want fellowship one with another. But I found out in this, the evil spirit had got among them and had caused hatred and malice over issues that had come among them. I thought, that's just exactly as good as the devil wants. That's just what he wants. As long as your guns are trained on one another, he doesn't have to fight a lick. So they think they're right, right? They're using the scripture. They say, you know, we've got to go this way. Yeah. We can do that also. That can happen to us. Yeah. We can say that the message says this, and we've got to go this way, right? Yeah. That's what was going on. And one of them was Dr. Ness. I suppose you Assemblies of God, brethren, remember him. He was in Northwestern Territory. There was Dr. Schism of the United Pentecostal Church talking about the baptism in Jesus' name. Now he says, well, these two men met, and I was to be brought before them because the edges was getting sharp, and it was cutting at me from every way. And I thought, what must I do? What can I do? Now, well, they said, well, you must take sides with one or the other. If you're going to go with a Jesus name, you have to to be Jesus' name. And if you go with Assemblies of God, you have to leave away from Jesus' name and be Assemblies of God or so forth. It come to a place where I had to make a showing of some sort. So what can he do? I prayed much that morning for going down. I said, God, help me. Because there is two great men. There is thousands of servants. And you have sent me out here with a ministry. And they're both your servants. Both, he talks about later, both godly men. And should I throw what little influence I have to one organization when it's fighting the other one? See? I just can't feel right in doing that. I do not think that it would be the will of Christ for me to do it. And I said, God, help me and give me something to do or give me something to say. You know, sometimes we want to come with our solution, our preconceived ideas to things, you know, sometimes. You know, Moses probably had a temptation to do that when, you know, he did what God said and it was everything was happening like he you know, God told him with throwing down the stick and it becoming a serpent. And then something else happened, right, that he wasn't expecting. And so he could have, like, said, well, I need to, you know, do something and done something that would mess up the whole situation, right? And sometimes, you know, it's really difficult, you know, us when we get up here because we're trying to get everything out of our mind and our thoughts, right? And just let God take over and let God rule our thoughts and things like that. And sometimes you want to because, you know, what happens when you take control is because of fear you take control, right? You know, God wants us to let go and let God and have confidence in him. But when fear comes in, then we start to take control. You know, when Peter was walking on the water, everything was fine. He was walking in the Word of God, in the faith in the Word of God. And then when he began to look at his circumstances, he began to get scared and he wanted to do something. And then that's when he started to fall, right? And so fear takes that away. Now he says here, I prayed much that morning. Okay, he says, and I said, God, help me. And then I had no one. I just had to stand there, just the Lord, Jesus, and I that morning. Well, the great debate come up. What are you going to do? What decision you're going to make? I said, my decision has already been made, that my decision is to stand between both of you and join neither organization and say with arms around both of you, we are brethren. Amen. See? See, we are brethren. See? And I said, I have tried to read all the books that I could, how this come up, what was called this new issue, and how they separated themselves, and how this one began this way and that way. And I said, in arguments between you, I said, that's the same thing that broke up the Pentecostal move on the day after Pentecost. They began to argue among one another. And I said, the thing separates again. Yeah. And so when you look, and there's a couple other examples that he brings in, you know, where they, you know, they disagree with him and they say, we're going to draw the circle. And you're going to be out of our circle. And then Brother Bram says, I'm going to draw a circle and bring you back in. And he talks about how he deals with them. And I just wish we had more time here. But when you see the nature of the prophet, that it was the way he approached it in love and respect, is that how they were won over. So he gave a situation with AAL, and he gave a situation of another brother. And then at the very end of this meeting, it was just such a great atmosphere of love. And remember, they were coming at him like, you know, they wanted to throw spears at him. But at the end, there was perfect love and perfect harmony in the situation. And so, forgive me. I mean, it's already 9 o'clock and there's like three other situations here. If I can read a couple more things here, if I could. Amen. Now he says here, here's a question. Brother Branham, I have accepted God's message of today, also our son, and we both have been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Here's a question. Jesus Christ, my husband has accepted the message and is fighting this message. And he has influenced our son and is taking him to a Methodist church. He wants me to go with him to church when we are not in service here at the tabernacle. Would it be right for me to go with him, or would it be better to stay out of that denomination? What do you think the answer is? He says, go with your husband, but don't be partakers of what they're doing. See, you're supposed to love your husband, and love is what does it. Amen. You just be real salty. He'll get thirsty if there's anything in him. Don't join their denomination. You said, stay away from that denomination. Don't join it. Go to it. If you can't get a whole loaf, get a half. Can't get a half, just get a slice. See? But that's the way you'll win your husband, by doing that. Don't be arrogant. Then he'll know he's got just as much as you have, see? But when you can show something that you have that he don't have, that'll make him thirst to be like you. The sanctified wife sanctifies the husband. Here's a question. Also, no, here it is. Here it is. Brother Branham, I believe the message you teach with all my heart. It thrills my soul. However, my wife and son do not rejoice in the word. They do not desire to separate themselves from some of their worldly habits. You said that we should claim our families. We find that difficult to do, seeming that they do not live for the word or in the word. What is my course, sir? Do I claim them and believe, or do I pray, Father, thy will be done, and be content in the state I find myself in? I would appreciate your guidance, Brother Branham. God bless you, my brother or sister, whoever you may be. I would just commit them to the Lord. I see, because what all the Father has given me will come to me. See now? The only thing for you people to do. He says, he talks about a different situation where, you know, all the people are eating at the Blue Boar, and then he gets a good report of the congregation saying that they're great people. And then he goes on to say, now, mother, my sister, if your husband wants you to go down to the Methodist church, you go ahead. You might not have a whole loaf of bread, but if they even say they believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you believe that, because we do too. Now, if they're going off on other tantrums and things, just let them go ahead, but you eat that much of the bread, see? And in that, you just show by the sweetness of your life and your consideration for others. If you haven't got it, dear sister, pray till it comes to you, that you won't have to put on anything artificially. Amen. So, you know, we want to follow this formula. We want to love, but we've got to have it first. And so he says to pray. Now, there was a question that was asked, Brother Branham, how do I get deeper in the love of God? Do we all want to have the love of God and be deeper in it? Of course. We're not where we need to be. And he says, what does he say? He says, read the word and pray. So those two things, if we want more of God's love in us, because that's the solution to all the problems, is Jesus Christ. And so if we have Jesus Christ inside, and then we allow God to work, he solves all these situations. I'm going to read this quote here. Stand by here for a second, if you would. It's a little bit further down. Okay. And I know you know this quote, but it gives a way to handle situations with people as they come up, whether it's in this congregation or whether it's in the home. He says this, in Christ is the mystery of God revealed. He says, love one another above everything. Love one another. No matter what the devil tries to say. Remember, the devil uses the word of God. So the devil can put a thought in your mind that is he's using the word of God, but he's not using it in the same spirit of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? So in the temptation in the wilderness, Satan used the word of God, but he used it with a different idea or spirit. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so there goes the battle in our mind. That's why we got to stay close to God, and that's why, you know, God will give us grace in those hours, right? Sometimes he wants us to learn something. Sometimes he just lets us, you know, see what we'll do. And if we lean upon him, everything will come out right. Amen. Now he says this, no matter what the devil tries to say, now you're all one great big sweet group now. But remember my warning, see? Satan won't let that stay that way. No, sir. He'll shoot everything. If he has to bring somebody in to make his target, he'll bring some critic or unbeliever. Critic. Let me bring up something on that right here. He says in the adoption too, all in love, the whole thing is bundled up now. This has been tried to be taught on many times. And no doubt, what great theologians have struck it got a lot deeper than I could. But the thing I want to try to get to you is this, that a man that is in Christ with the Holy Ghost can bear with a man when he's wrong. Long-suffering, gentle, patient, God help us, right? He's sweet, humble, faithful, filled with the Spirit, never negative, always positive. So we get critical, you know, we get negative, we start to talk in that way. It's not the Spirit of Christ. Always positive. He's a different person. And you know, he's trying to bring us to a certain state. Now, we know that we're on a journey. We're trying to build into the stature of a perfect man, right? And we know that Christ was example. And we know what the scripture says about when the enemies do this, what to do. When he slaps you on the one cheek, turn to him the left. We know that's not easy. We know that when we get persecuted and all those things, it says pray for your enemies, right? It's not easy. Here's an example also I'd like to bring to you. He talks about the word temperance in the stature of a perfect man. Oh my, we've come to temperance. Now if you've had faith first, okay, now he comes down. Temperance doesn't mean stop drinking alcohol here either. No, temperance doesn't mean alcoholic cure. Not in this case. This is Bible temperance. Holy Spirit temperance. That's just one of the lust of the flesh. He's talking about those other things, drinking. But we're talking about Holy Spirit temperance. That means how to control your tongue. When somebody treats you wrong, are you going to say something back? Or not say something then, but say something here. Right? Amen. Control the tongue. These are all areas, you know, we need to dig down because we all deal with this, right? How do you control your tongue? Not be a tattler. Do you know what this person did? You know what I mean? Or this person did to me? We all need this. How to control your temper, not fly off every time anybody speaks cross to you. Oh my. Boy, a lot of us going to fall off before we get started, aren't they? See, then we wonder why God is not in his church doing miracles and things that they used to do. Yes, sir. See? Add these things. Add temperance to it. Oh, temperance, how to answer in kindness when wrath is spoke to you. Not something made up, but it's really there. Somebody say, so, you know, we go through these situations and people treat us bad, and then we say, why am I going through this? There is a reason why we're going through that. It's because we need to be tested on it, and we need to know where we stand. And so we fail that test, then we know that we've got some work to do, and then we've got to go through the test again. So it's good for us, and we learn from it. How to answer in kindness when wrath is spoken to. Somebody say, you bunch of holy rollers down there, don't jump out and roll up your sleeves now, see? Not that, but talk with godly love, temperance, kindness. Is that the way you want to be? When you're riled up upon, rile not back. Let him be your example. When they said, if thou be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread, he could have done it and show he was God, but he had temperance. When they called him Beelzebub, he said, I'll forgive you for it. That right? They pulled handkerchiefs of beard out of his face and spit in his face. If that happened to you, what would you do? And said, come down off the cross. He said, Father, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing. Critic or unbeliever, and sit him down, going back to Christ, the mystery of God revealed, and sit him down and cause him to fellowship with you under the quietness and things. And then he'll shoot that guy with some kind of a poison stuff. So this is going to happen. Has happened, is going to continue to happen. So how do you deal with that when somebody gets that critical spirit, they're an unbeliever, they cause problems? You just cut them off? You just distance yourself from them? And he'll start through the church with it. Don't you take sides with it. Don't you have nothing to do with anything else. So this is giving us all something to think about and learn about. Some of us has dealt with this. Some of us will deal with it. Don't have nothing to do with anything else. You stay right, loving and sweet and kind to one another. Pray for that man, that he'll be saved too, or that woman, or ever who it is. Just pray for them and stick one with another. Amen. Okay, so let me ask you a question. How many of us deal with difficult people at work? Amen. Just some, half. Okay. How about in the congregation? Amen. You don't have to raise your hand. The devil's going to work in here. And so there's going to be this situation, these kind of situations. They have happened. They will continue to happen. So how do we deal with it? We don't get upset with them. We don't stop talking to them. But it says we pray, right? Because when we pray, what's prayer part of? Getting deeper in the love of God. Read the word and pray, and then God will help us. Because, you know, yes, we've all dealt with me. You know, the reason why I'm going through this, because personally going through this situation. And so it's a learning thing. Pray for that man that he'll be saved too, or that woman, or ever who it is. Just pray for them and stick one with another and stay with your pastor. See, he's a shepherd and you give him respects. He'll lead you through, and because he's ordained of God to do so. Now let me read this here in respects, the message respects. Here's what, you know, Brother Branham says that we need to respect each other in this message. He says, he talks about reverence, fear, and respect, and he says we need to do it with everybody. I fear my mother. I fear my wife. He's talking about respects. I fear my church. I fear all of God's servants, unless I should put a stumbling block somewhere in their way. I fear the people. I fear the people of the city, unless I should do something wrong that would cause them to think that I wasn't a Christian. Now, he goes into different examples of respect for the messengers, respect for the prophets, respect for the servants of God. Now he's talking about a specific situation. He says, you know, a Baptist minister wrote me a letter a couple of days ago from up here. Oh, if he didn't rake me over the coals. He said, a guy that's as lazy as you are, talking about Brother Branham. A ministry that would be equal to Elijah the prophets, he said. And then to see you sitting around home doing nothing. Doesn't know what's going on, right? Doesn't know the will of God. So Billy is acting as secretary at the time. He wrote him a letter back, and then he thought, well, I believe I'll just answer him. He said, but he thought he better let me read it before he answered it. Probably a good idea. But it had a lot of diplomacy in it. He said, now this is not my dad, this is me. Said, you just said that daddy had a ministry like that of Elijah, and said, You said he sat down in a creek bank somewhere with a fishing pole in his hand, or up in the mountains with a rifle in his hand. Said, what will you say about Elijah when he sat 3 years by the side of a brook? Said, don't you know that they're led by the Spirit of God to do what they're doing? See, everybody wants to run it their own way. But man must be led by the Spirit of God, and you must give it respects. And so no doubt the devil has put in your mind or your thoughts about Brother Mike or some other person about, you know, why are they doing this or, you know, whatever the thought may be. But don't you know by that they're led by the Spirit of God? He says this in the story about, are you all okay?
Amen.
Okay. He says this, talking about the situation with Aaron, Miriam, and Moses. He said this. He said, and there one day we find out that even Miriam, a prophetess, and Aaron, the high priest, made fun of Moses' wife because she was an Ethiopian and thought, wasn't there enough women of our own group to marry instead of going down there and marrying that woman? That wasn't Moses' choice. That was God's choice for Moses. And so they thought they knew more than God. They thought they knew more than Moses. And so that's why they began to challenge, right? And when they made fun of it, that angered God in such a way until he struck Miriam the prophetess, full of leprosy, Moses' own sister. What about that? Her, a prophetess. But what was she doing? She was making fun and irreverence to God's messenger, the messenger of the covenant of that day. And she was irreverent. So she did not know the will of God. She did not know it was God's choice. She did not respect the man of God, the prophet. And so this is what happened to her. Sometimes we don't know everything about what's going on. But we have to have confidence and faith that they're being led of God. Now he says this. Now he says this about different positions. He says, if you can't respect the man, respect the office he holds in God. That's exactly right. See, respect him. If a minister comes up, your pastor, always respect him. I've heard congregations talk about their pastor, how just about him, run him down, ridicule him. How is that pastor ever going to do anything for you? He can't do it. I don't say this, church, but I mean churches. I have seen that if you've got to love your pastor. You've got to know that he's a human being. But yet God has made him his pastor. The Holy Ghost has made him overseer. Then you've got to respect him in that manner. Over, and no matter what the pastor's done, if you respect him in your heart as God's servant, God will respect you for doing it. Now he says this, the enemy will come, and when he does, just cling that much closer together. And the one that the devil is using for an enemy will either get out or come in and be one of you. Why? Because of the love, right? So if that person's a child of God, if that person's in the economy of God, that person's going to come to Christ by the way that you treat them. And so, you know, we're always tempted to, you know, write somebody off or something like that. But we've got to love everyone no matter how they treat us, no matter what they say. And we know some of those personalities. That's all. Don't never clan among one. He's talking about all these things because these are all the temptations that we run through. Don't tell me this doesn't happen in this congregation. Clan means to group together and exclude other people, right? We have different races. We have different cultures. We have different backgrounds. We have different churches that we came from and things. And we tend to sometimes do that, right? And we have different churches that we came from and things. And we tend to sometimes do that, right? And push other people out, or you, we don't say, hey, you leave, but we kind of do that, you know. You see it with, you know, different people. You see the temptation, you know, I'm susceptible to it. You know, we're all susceptible to it. And we've got to, when that happens, we've got to say no, right? It happens with the youth. You know, it happens to all of us. Or talk or make yourself clash. We are one. I couldn't say left hand, I'm mad at you. I'm going to take you away because you're not a right hand. He's my left hand. I want him to stay there. Even the tip of my finger, I want to stay there. Every little part of my body, stay right there. And God wants us as a body of believers to stay right exactly with one another. Right at with one another. And now you've got tapes on that. You've got tapes on what we believe. You've got tapes on discipline in the church, how we behave ourselves in the church of God, how we got to come here together and sit together in heavenly places. Don't stay home. If God is in your heart, you can't hardly wait for them doors to open out yonder to get in here to fellowship with your brothers. Now, I'm not going to hit all these other places, but Brother Branham talks about the heart condition of the believer. You know, speaking in tongues is fine. Gifts of the spirits is fine. Different miracles and healings and those things are fine. But what does he say is the true evidence of the Spirit of Christ in us? It is the love, right? But it's also, he breaks it out into a few other things. He says it's something that's burning in our heart. There's a hunger. He talks about a travail. Do you know what a travail is? A travail, like a woman when she's about to have a child, she's travailing. She's about to labor. She's in pain. She wants something to happen, right? She's in this kind of condition. And so the believer needs to be in a condition where she's yearning. She doesn't like the situation that is occurring right now. She doesn't like the situation of the world, what it's going on right now. She doesn't like the situation in a family or their personal walk. They don't feel like they're walking in the right way where they should be. They don't feel like they're reaching out enough. They don't feel they have a burden for lost souls, right? All these things. He calls it a travail, and he says they're praying for lost souls. They're praying for this one. They're that one. And that's the evidence of Christ in us. And so, yes, it's nice to come to church. It's nice to do all these things. It's nice to sing songs and specials and different things and praise the Lord and hear a good sermon. But what is the purpose of which God sent us in here for? Amen. And he said this is the evidence of Christ because Christ loves and he's trying to win all he can. If you hear what Brother Branham is saying in the message, he's talking about winning souls to Christ. One soul is worth 10,000 worlds. And so, you know, I include myself in that, not where I need to be, right? When I read that, those that sigh and cry for the abominations done in the city, doing sighing and crying for others who have backslid or lost. Remember, Lot was backslid and Abraham's heart reached out for him. He went to save him. Then he went to plead with God to save him. Peradventure there's 50. Peradventure there's 40. Remember that. And so we've got to have more of that inside of us. God gives us the perfect formula to do that. Read the word and pray. Have more of God in us. God help us to do that. Let's all stand. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, please forgive me for just bringing this message so broken up, oh Lord Jesus. You know what's inside of my heart, oh Lord Jesus. Lord, the reason I'm bringing this up is because of things that you've shown me and taught me through experiences, recent experiences, Lord, how I have failed, O Lord Jesus. How I haven't done the things that I'm supposed to do, O Lord Jesus. Lord, forgive me, O Father. Lord, forgive. Lord, I ask forgiveness for those that I have done wrong or offended, O Lord Jesus. Lord, I want to go the right way, dear Lord. and do everything that you've called me to do and to reach the mark that you've had in mind, O Father, Lord Jesus. Help each one of us, O Lord. Lord, you know who your children are. You know, O Lord, their heart. And you've made it in such a way that it's so simple, Lord. You just want our hearts to get our hearts fully to you, O Lord. Not our mind, not our intellect, not our logical approach, O Lord Jesus, to figure out the Word of God, but our heart sold out to you, O Lord Jesus. Only then can you come inside and take control, O Lord Jesus. And bring us to that fulfillment of the Scriptures, dear Lord. Lord, I ask that you would help each one of us, O Lord Jesus. Lord, I know I brought it in my human instrumentality in a broken way, O Lord Jesus, but you're in control. And these are your words, O Lord. So do with them as you will, O Father. Lord, bless the people, O Father. Lord Jesus, let your grace come down, dear Lord. We ask all this in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Let's sing, There Is None Like You. No one else can touch my heart like you do. There is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. I can search for all eternity long and find there is none like you. There is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you. I can search for all eternity long and find there is none like you. There is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. I can search for all eternity long and find there is none like you. Let's sing it again. There is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do.
Thank you, Brother Tim.
Hallelujah. There is none like you.
Let's just sing it again.
There is none like you. No one else can search my heart like you do. I could search for all eternity, Lord, and find there is none
like. Why don't you close your eyes and sing it with all your heart? Sing it.
There is none like you. No one else can search my heart like you do. I could search for all eternity, Lord, and find there is none like you.
Just play softly. I want you to bow your heads just for a minute. It doesn't matter to me that Brother Tim thinks the message was broken. I believe with all my heart God tied it all together. I believe that He spoke to our hearts by the power of the Word. We've each one faced circumstances. We faced trials. Sometimes we didn't handle them just exactly right. Sometimes the poison got into one of us and we got a little bit going the wrong way. But if you speak to them and they're brothers, they come back around. God speaks to their heart. How about you? How about me? Each one of us confess, Lord, let me have the right relationship with you. Because nobody else knows your heart like God. You might not can express it. You might not be able to explain it. But there is a God who knows the very depths and the very thoughts of your heart. He knows the very secrets and the intents that you're doing. And if you'll just trust in Him with all your heart tonight, that relationship will grow and you can overcome. I was thinking as Brother Tim was ministering, sometimes when you show love, listen at me now, I want the music a little softer. Sometimes when you show love, people misinterpret it or perceive it as being weak. But show love anyway. Show love anyway. Love conquers a multitude of sin. Love covers a multitude of mistakes. Lord, how many times shall I forgive them? Until seven times? I believe the Lord said until 70 times seven. In other words, you can't exhaust the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. Lord, help my relationship to come closer to you. Help me, Lord, to show a love that can be a blessing. How many feels like the Lord spoke to your heart tonight? Thank God for a broken message then. It didn't sound broken to me. It sounded very well connected. And I thank God for speaking to my heart. Let's just sing it one more time. Hallelujah.
There is none like you. No one else can search my heart like you do. I could search for all eternity, Lord, and find there is none like you. There is none like you. No one else can search my heart like you do. I could search for all eternity, Lord, and find there is none like.
Let's just pray. Say, play softly. Lord Jesus, powerful message, I believe that was. Lord, when we come into the presence of God, it begins to break down those walls of contention. It breaks down those barriers. Brings us to the unity of the faith that wants us to love one another with all of our hearts. Lord, many times love is shown by the actions we take. Lord, let our actions project who you are. Lord, help us to be sons and daughters of God, showing a life, living a life, obedient to the word of God. Help us tonight, Father, I pray. Bless Brother Tim, Lord. Continue, Lord, to walk with him through his ministry. Strengthen him, Lord, each day. Let your presence be in our heart. Let us love when no one else knows how to love. Hallelujah. Amen. Sister Cindy, the song, I'm Gonna Love the Way He Wants Me to Love. You know that song? Amen. I'm not sure if I can get the song right, but just see if we can get this. Amen. I'm gonna live.
I'm gonna live the way He wants me to live. I'm gonna love until there's just no love to give. Love, love till there's just no more love. I could never, ever outlove the Lord. I'm gonna live the way He wants me to live. I'm gonna give till there's just no more to give. I'm gonna love, love till there's just no more love. I could never, ever outlove the Lord.
Let's just sing it one more time.
I'm gonna live the way He wants me to live. I'm gonna give until there's just no more to give. I'm gonna love, love till there's just no more love. I could never, ever outlove the Lord. I'm gonna live.
If you can live the way He wants you to live, if you can give until there's no more to give, and if you can love until there's just no more love, you'll succeed in being successful for the glory of God. Amen. Don't let the circumstances, the situations, don't let them tell you it's impossible. With God, all things are possible. To what? To them that believe. Amen. We got to trust Him. May the Lord bless you tonight. I'm not going to keep you. If you can get to the services on Saturday and Sunday evening at Brother Augustine's, you go and be a blessing. If you can't be a blessing, don't go. Go with a good attitude, a good spirit. Brother George Martin will be ministering. Let the Lord speak to your heart. Amen. As we sing, you can be dismissed.
I'm gonna live the way He wants me to live. Gonna give until there's just no more to give. Gonna love, love till there's just no more love. I can never, ever outlove the Lord. I'm gonna live the way He wants me to live. I'm gonna